Glad to see everybody here tonight. Got a lesson, and probably a little short lesson, but it'll make a point. What is that in your hand? Probably words that every mother has all ever said. And so that's probably true. But anyway, we're going to make a spiritual application about this. What we find out is that we sometimes do not pay attention to some of the small things that we think when we think of big things. And a lot of times, we don't really, the things we are given to work with, we don't think that they're very great. And so the possibility is we're not going to use those things. So hopefully this lesson will open up our minds to possibilities that we might have. What is that in your hand, Moses? Moses, remember him? A meek, humble man, did not think much of himself, tried to get out of his responsibility, tried to slough it off on somebody else. He didn't think he had the ability to do what God asked him to do, to bring his people out from Egypt. In his hand was a rock, a rod. It was just a stick. It was a shepherd's crook, maybe even looked like a walking stick. But that was in his hand. This was the only thing that Moses carried into Egypt. Now, with that stick, the power of God was shown to Pharaoh and the rest of the world. The plagues were brought upon Egypt with that stick. With that stick, the waters were divided, producing salvation for the Israelites. With that stick, the waters were returned to their place, destroying the Egyptian army. With that stick, water was brought forth from a rock. And with that stick, an army was defeated when it was held high. Let's think of somebody else. What is that in your hand, David? Now, who is David? A young lad, a shepherd boy, humble and meek. In his hand was a sling. You know where I'm going with this, right? It was a weapon that children use. They weren't able to carry the swords or chunk the spears, but you know what? They had slings. But when used properly, it became a very powerful weapon. How powerful, you might ask? Well, with that sling, he protected his charge of sheep. You know, he was a shepherd. He had to chase off the animals. He had confidence with that sling to approach a giant warrior, someone bigger than we've probably ever seen in our life. And he was a huge fighting person. I mean, huge. But David wasn't afraid to go, and he was just a young lad. With that sling and his ability, it only took one shot. Now, what we've learned from this, the power of God was shown. The power wasn't in the rock. It wasn't in David's ability. It was the power of God that was working. Now think about this. What is that in your hand, little boy? A boy with no name. This lad had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But apparently he was willing to share. They looked out, all these people, no food. But he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He could have kept them for himself and fed his family at home. But he saw the condition and he was willing to share. But there were so many. I mean, it was just, how can this be? But with the loaves and fishes, you remember the story. Jesus multiplied them. The thousands were fed and there were many leftovers. Believers were made that day. The power of God was seen. Now, what is that in your hand, Dorcas? Here's another one. She was a fine lady, looking out for others, taking care of them, had a lot of concern for others. She made garments, and with those garments, she sold some of them, and with that money, she fed the poor. And she was just a fine, godly lady. There's no doubt about that. And her hand was a needle. She was a craftsman with fabric. And her friends showed off her handiwork. You know, when she died, they laid her out, and then Peter came along and showed her, hey, look, look, look. Or it may have been Paul, but they showed off what she had done and described how she had treated others. She helped them. But with that needle, she used it for God's glory. Whether it was crafting a fabric and then selling it and then using that money to take care of the poor or the needy, she always used it to God's glory. And while we can see God's glory in her needle, we can also see it in other things. The glory of God, and sometimes we don't think about these things. The glory of God is seen in things like the bag of seeds that is in the hand of a farmer when he uses them. And the medical skills in the hands of a doctor. I mean, there's glory. We give glory to God because they had the skill. You know, if you have a heart attack and you have to have open heart surgery, you better hope that that doctor has skill. And even though I did thank him, I also thank God. Maybe it's a piece of furniture in the hands of a carpenter. Or you might say, give him a piece of wood and then see what he can do. Craftsmen are able to do a lot of things with a lot of things. There's a lot of people go out, pick up rocks off the ground, do a few little things with it, then sell them for a lot of money. I mean, there's so many possibilities, and that's what this lesson is about. It's about possibilities. And we could just go on and on about so many of these different things. Now, let's think about this. What is that in your hand, Mom and Dad? Some of you know where I'm going, some of you are not quite sure, but the husband and wife make up God's family unit as God wants it. And with this union, children are the result. Now the question is, how is this child going to grow? And that's a question presented to the parents all the time. What will this child learn? Will he learn about life and what goes on in this life? Will he learn about death? And the horrible things about death. Will he learn about work? Will he learn about God? Will she learn about God? And some, you know, it's really sad sometimes. You see a lot of parents, they don't teach their children anything about God. I mean, they might teach them some other things. And so we'll look at that. See, with this child, parents have a grave responsibility. And you know what? If we don't start them from a young age, it may be too late. You know, I know a lot of people who have obeyed the gospel at a later age. They tried to get their children interested in it. They just wouldn't do it. And they regretted that. But yet, if you're a young Christian and you have children, you have that responsibility. And more than just teaching them to fit into society in an acceptable behavior. And that's what we try and teach our kids. I mean, you got to behave yourself. Don't act like a rebel. Don't act like someone who wants to be a thug or something like that. Teach them to respect others. That's what we're supposed to do. But more importantly, we're to teach them about God and His laws and the accountability we should have with these laws. You know, in our society, that's the word accountability is just, I don't know, they just use it whenever it's convenient for them. But accountability is something that goes on all the time. We are always accountable to the laws that are over us. We're always accountable to God who gave us His various laws. And we will give an account. We know that. The teacher teaches that. The Bible preaches that. Romans 14:10, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll stand before God and give an account. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says the same thing. We will be there. We will give an account. Revelation 20, verse 15. We'll be judged out of those books. But parents, to teach your children about love, and respect for all and hatred for none. This is where so many of our families fail in this country. And this is why we're in the shape we're in. It's because they did not teach love to their children. It's everybody fend for themselves, and a selfish society has grown out of that. Excuse me. So when you think about it, truly, the power of God can be seen in a child. Remember Jesus, what he said about the children, "Suffer the little children not to come unto me, for theirs, such as theirs, is the kingdom of heaven." And so, yes, children, a great responsibility, but also can do great things for God. What is that in your hand, Christian? Now, a question coming closer to home. And a Christian is the most beloved of God. Outside of his beloved Son, Christians are the most beloved of God. He considers us, and he looks upon us with delight. Those who have put their trust in God and obeyed his commands, these are the ones he considers his children, who have demonstrated their faith. In their hands are many things. Let's notice some of those. And we may consider them small, but God can consider them great. Let us notice a few of things in our hand. In the hands of a Christian, there should be a Bible and a willingness to allow the Bible to teach us. Also with that Bible, there should be one and a willingness to teach others. Now, how can we teach others if we haven't been taught ourselves? So you see, there's some accountability there. And there should be a Bible and a willingness to share it with the lost. Because let's face it, without the Bible, the lost are going to be just that, lost. But there's an opportunity to give them salvation, to provide salvation for them, but they need to learn about it. And that's what a Bible is for. In the hand of a Christian, there is the opportunity to lead someone to Christ. But more than just the opportunity, we have the responsibility to lead someone to Christ. And it is a privilege when we can do that. It is a privilege to help someone get to heaven. And that's what we all need to be working on and doing. Whether we convert them from the world, convert them from a denomination, or just basically reinforce and encourage our fellow saints, we can lead someone to Christ. We do it by our example and by our words of encouragement. And so, and living like we believe what we say we believe, living that way. But now, for the non-Christian, what is that in your hand? Well, after this lesson, I don't see any in here, but after this lesson, it's talking about those who are outside of Christ. And there are some here, those who have not obeyed the gospel. These are what I'm talking about. Now, what is in your hand? You have the truth, and we have presented it to you. Now, it's for some of you, time and time again, we've presented the truth, and yet somehow you haven't decided to do anything about it. You need to obey the gospel, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you need to repent of your sins, change your ways, start living for God and not living for yourself. You confess his name. You're baptized into Christ. You're baptized in water. That puts you into Christ. Puts you into his church. And the Lord adds you to his body of saved. So what will you do with the truth? With the truth of the gospel, will you consider your mind the great power of God of the gospel? Because that's where the salvation of God comes from, is the gospel. Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation." And all these little things which we don't think very much of, the stick, the sling, and the needle, and those things, We don't think much of those, just the little bitty inanimate objects. But yet people have taken those little inanimate objects and done great things for God. And we have that same ability. We may not think much of ourselves, oh, I could never do that. No, we all have that ability. We just have to put forth the effort. Might take a little courage. We just need to put forth the effort. So, we need to dedicate ourselves to the God of the Bible and His Son. And so, will you be saved? If you're not already saved, will you be saved? All these things are small in one respect. And sometimes, like I say, in our own mind, they're small. And we may not think much of it. Because Moses was expecting when God said, go bring my people out. Okay, how am I going to do this? I need to get an army. I need something massive. I need Cecil B. DeMille here to help me out. God says, what's that in your hand, Moses? Well, it's my walking stick or my shepherd's crook. It's my rod. It's a stick. So God's demonstrating, what are you going to do with that stick? Throw it down. See what happens. Pick it up. See what happens. You go into Egypt with that stick and see what happens. Like I say, these things are small, maybe even in our own mind, but God has plans for them. Properly used, they become great things for God. And we a lot of times, this might be a problem for a lot of us, is God expects us to do these great things. And we think of ourselves as very meek, very humble, very unskilled, maybe to do what we think God wants us to do. But we have that ability. We all have that ability. All we have to do is put it to use. And like I say, it might seem insignificant to us, but to others, the power of God may be seen. If the way we live presents the gospel to somebody, there's the power of God right there. When our words speak of God and our praise to Him, and we encourage someone to listen to God, that's a great thing we can do. We don't have much in this life. We're just a little bit. And when we consider comparing ourselves to others, we have very little. A lot of us do. But you know what? What we do have in our hand, no matter what it is, we can do great things for God. Think about that. Think of our potential. It's there. We all have the ability to do it. It's just, do we have the willingness? Consider these thoughts. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.